Hey guys, my name is Sarah. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride and people pleasing. Hey guys, please pray with me. God, let's do this. Calm my nerves. I pray that I will communicate clearly your story of grace in my life. And God, we ask that you open our minds and our hearts tonight to hear what you have for us. In your son's name we pray. I was the first student in my school district to win the Superintendent Citizenship Award in sixth grade and again as a senior. That's right, folks, I was a big deal. The sad truth is that I spent most of my life trying to be a big deal. I did well in school, was voted captain of the soccer team, went on mission trips, and never touched a cigarette. I won prom queen over the prettiest girl in school because I was nice to everyone. Trust me, these are not meant to be humble brags. They are sad examples of where I found my worth. I was proud of being a good person and performing well. I became addicted to having others affirm me. My extrovert personality was used to woo everyone I met. I was a social chameleon, good at controlling outcomes and others' perception of me. Psychologists call it impression management, and I basically had a master's in it. My upbringing had me attending church, youth group, and desiring to learn more about God, but I found myself performing for him, just like I was for everyone else. This led to my 20s being the one foot in, one foot out years, as I like to call it. I was a Christian who claimed to want to be like Jesus, but my actions didn't match. I avoided telling the truth, especially when it was uncomfortable or unpopular. I gossiped about coworkers and friends behind their back and threw out more F-bombs than I'd like to admit. I thought loving others meant doing whatever they wanted and saying yes more often than no. I wanted to develop deep relationships, but was more focused on the stranger I met at the bar than being authentic with friends and family. This resulted in shallow relationships with many and deep relationships with few. I placed unreasonable expectations on people, resented them when I was let down, but wouldn't dare say anything to avoid conflict. Psychologists would call that one passive aggressive. I'd get angry and defensive with my family when I felt misunderstood or underappreciated. I'd talk to my siblings in a condescending way, especially my younger sister, who I desperately wanted to admire me. Instead of loving her well by building her up, I emphasized all the ways she was not like me. I was so focused on imparting my wisdom as the all-knowing big sister that I didn't notice the hurt I was causing. Another point of pride for me was comparing my sexual sin to others. I viewed those who had sex before marriage as weak and lacking self-control. Then I discovered masturbation and began using it to fight loneliness and lack of control. This addictive habit opened the door to casual physical relationships with men. I crossed many boundaries and yet still felt okay with God because I kept my technical virginity. I was good at using my sexuality to garner attention from men and felt empty every time those relationships didn't turn into something real. I was addicted, and like a dog returning to its vomit, I kept going back for more of the same. But thankfully, God never stopped pursuing me. While I found some level of community and accountability through my church in North Carolina, I still never fully surrendered to him. In 2014, I had the opportunity to move to Dallas for a new job and took the leap, trusting that God would grow me. Sure enough, I got plugged into Watermark right away, where I was known and admonished by community and dove into his word through the Equipped Disciple Ministry. I started to notice God transforming me, but there was still something keeping me from going all in. I had heard a lot about Region from friends and was even asked to mentor a woman through the program. I saw God changing her and others on this stage every Monday night, which got my attention. but I still wasn't sure I needed it. Then in the summer of 2015, I went through a breakup that left me feeling confused and fearful. I just couldn't rest in Christ's peace and finally committed to groundwork. Before recovery, the story of God sending his only son to die on the cross for my sins was certainly important, but it was not personal. Praise God, that changed in step four. I'll never forget working through my inventory on the plane during work trips. I'd be next to strangers, hiding the page with my arm as I wrote down my resentments, fears, harms to me, and details of my sexual sin. Who's with me on that, right? Seeing the selfish things I did to receive love and affirmation felt like God lifting the rug. Seeing the selfish things I did to receive love and affirmation felt like God lifting the rug of my life to uncover dirt, grime, and old crumbs scattered around. A mess. It was a light bulb moment for me as I heard Jesus whisper, "I died for all of that." Those details, privately penned in the workbook pages, soon became public confessions in step five when I shared every last one with a handful of amazing godly women. I was waiting for them to gasp in disgust as I shared things I had never shared with anyone. Instead, I felt love. They listened and pointed out patterns to help me identify idols. I finally felt fully known and free. I was living out John 1, 8 through 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In step 9, amends, the rubber met the road. I got to share my faith with my sister for the first time and ask forgiveness for being another person from the church who had hurt her. Even though I didn't hear the words, "I forgive you," back, I'm grateful God has opened the door to further conversations and healing. When it was appropriate, I even reached out to some of the men I dated to explain how my actions didn't align with my values. When I owned my part and asked for forgiveness, I felt like I was finally being obedient to Christ. I wasn't withholding information because it was uncomfortable or would make me look bad. Looking back, I'm pretty sure I entered Regen hoping God would give me specific answers about the relationship I had just ended. What I found instead was a clearer picture of his gracious love and my daily need for it, a love not contingent on my performance, popularity, or good deeds. I've messed up a lot since graduating Regen. My friends, family, and coworkers will tell you I am not perfect. And I admit I so badly wanted this testimony to sound perfect. But this is not a story of perfection. It's a story of how imperfect I am, which highlights my dependence on him. It only took me 34 years and 12 steps of Regen to figure out that I need him every day. Romans 7 Verse 8 has become my go-to when I need a reminder of that. For nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Whew, that is a major weight lifted for a prideful people pleaser. No more trying to navigate this world on my own strength. I hope those in my life would tell you that when I mess up now, I'm quick to confess and rely on God's word to be a compass to redirect my path. I recognize when I'm trying to win someone over for selfish reasons or when pride gets in the way of loving well. When I started Regen, saying I have a new life in Christ felt weird. I wasn't sure it was true. But reflecting back on how God transformed me, I confidently believe 1 Corinthians 5:17 applies to me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 years ago, I wasn't really comfortable sharing my faith. Now, instead of using my outgoing personality to win more Sarah fans, I use my gifts to magnify what Jesus did on the cross. My inventory shows how much I do not deserve God's grace. But he gave it to me freely, along with a lot of opportunities to serve him. I'm humbled to be co-leading a group of ladies through the steps, like Kaylee, who was up here. They challenged me to live in authentic community every week. And I'm here on stage in front of hundreds of you, not to receive an award, but to share intimate details of how Jesus rescued me from my destructive patterns. If you're still unsure you are a new creation, ask God to reveal himself to you. He created you uniquely and is writing a very specific story with your life. There are 1,000 different stories in this room, and he wants to be a part of every single one. So don't rob yourself of the chance to know him more. I turned 35 yesterday, fully known, and can't think of a better birthday present than to tell you my Jesus story. He continues every day to turn my eyes from the temptations of the world to experience something greater, which is his love that has the power to change us. My name is Sarah. I really do have a new life in Christ and am recovering from pride and people-pleasing. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a big deal and that he can change everything. Thank you, guys.